We are Inside Job Duo. I'm Michał.
And I'm Ula.
And we are working together since 5 years.
Yes, and we are mostly dealing with environments, with multi-layered installations. Sometimes they are site-specific.
We are interested in how identities, or more recently entities, are being constructed, including the identities of places, within the context of contemporary problematics like climate crisis or capitalism or technological acceleration.
And we are based in Poznań in Poland.
Inside Job, how did you come about this title? What does that mean to you?
Hey, it's coming pretty often, this question. We are also questioning ourselves very often why we keep still this name, because we choose it pretty
spontaneously.
Spontaneously, when we were forming our duo, when we decided that we will start working together. And then it was really important for us to like underline these counteractions, and we wanted then to perceive our upcoming projects, mm-hmm. projects as something that will undermine like the status quo or whatever, and maybe from them.
Our interest shifts, I guess, and also somehow our practice change, but we still decided to keep the name because it refers to a very beginning of our common practice. And at the other hand, I guess it's still relevant to what we are interested in now, because we are still kind of referring to different cracks within the theories, within some
systems.
So we are spotting, not very spotting, but we are tracking all those conspiracy theories, for example.
As well as something
as well,
really
yes.
interesting as how the, for example, different metaphysical hauntings can emerge in, let's say, the shadow of technological development. And then the very name Inside Job was about this trickster nature mm-hmm. of artist role.
Yeah, although it might sound very suspicious because it's very connected to this specific event of 9/11, but also to the movie that is about the economic crisis in 2008. So it has this very grounded presence in media, for example.
Yeah, but it's also very vast, kind of, mm-hmm. because it relates to all of those gray zones where uncertainty is important.
I'm just thinking about these metal engravings that you do, and they are two-dimensional.
Yeah, they are two-dimensional. They are flat.
Like, they are flat screen that stepped out of a screen, right?
I mean, like, probably when you observe it, you might somehow have an impression that these are like 3D renders. They look like this a little bit. And we also sometimes try to play with this aesthetic that you are not really sure whether it's something existing in a real or it's something fictional, something that was only created for the purpose of being scrolled in the internet. I guess it's... Yeah.
What strikes the eye is that tribal aesthetic that somehow resonates with an entire epoch of mm-hmm. let's say, you know, 2015 onwards, and the youth culture that's emerging in that context.
Yeah, we also kind of perceive this, I would say, tribal aesthetic as a perfect cultural mashup of what is imagined as past, what is also like a present kind of, and what is also like imagined as future. So they are both like kitsch and also iconic. So mm-hmm. that's why we get attached to them.
And on the other hand, they are very connected with the times when we grew up. So it's it's something very rooted in our teenage story somehow. So I perceive it as even more special, you know, because they became very, very rooted in how we've been defining the aesthetics and what we've been thinking about trendy and
like we were both really attracted to different subcultures in the past. So also these subcultural backgrounds like black metal aesthetic mm-hmm. now, like nowadays, are pretty mixed up.
Now that you say it, I really see it. Yeah, certainly, especially so in the walls
have ears.
That one really strikes me as
Then we were really trying to underline this fictional aspect, mm-hmm. and this flat surface of the objects was kind of also like fueling and giving more power to this fictional aspect, mm-hmm. like because
but the whole project was very connected with this in-between zones, with this
liminal spaces.
Yeah, with this liminal space. It actually it happened in a corridor space of the gallery, so it didn't happen in the main gallery spaces, but just in the space in between. But
yeah, what we've been
it was the curatorial concept. But we were mainly interested in this zone between something that is fictional and something that is non-fiction,
and that,
let's say. So it was like, so we created this kind of a portal, like a gateway to a
creeping creatures.
Yeah.
Portal and gateway were really the words that I had in my own mind when I was scrolling mm-hmm. through your work, looking for your installations, because it's really about invoking alternative reality and bringing it, trying to merge it with the environment mm-hmm. that you install, right?
Yeah, we are highly inspired by a lot of those, I would say, science fiction scenarios and alternative mm-hmm. visions of future, but also like of all of those coming from the past and all of those cracks in like seemingly stable reality. Like all of those gray zones where a kind of weird or strange presence can be rendered or can be kind of
introduced.
Yeah, fascinating. So my impression is at the basis, because, you know, how do you define your work? It's installation, sure, but is it sculpture? Mm-hmm. Is it graphics? Is it, you know, what is it? And I came up with this title, and I wonder if you agree. It's artistic sci-fi.
Yeah. It perfectly fits kind of what we are doing. And yeah, I guess it's... we are also... we are not trying to really define whether it's a sculpture, whether it's object. I guess these are mostly like environments, because it's also connected with how we perceive the art in general, that mainly we define it through finding ourselves within a certain context, rather than looking at a very single objects or
environment. It's also a good name
word, yeah.
Because like Ulla said, we are more into those interconnections between pieces than like on focusing only on individual one. So we are more into creating this atmosphere.
I have also a scenographic experience, so I like a background, because I was studying scenography, and I think it had also a great influence on how we are thinking about the space in general.
I was thinking that, you know, your work would perfectly on a theater stage, right, where you really create this alternative reality.
It's kind of also a topic that is appearing often in relation to our works, that, for example, one is asking if it will be a good place to do a performance or kind of some kind of action. But we never use it as this until now. And I guess also it's because we are not really dealing with this human presence.
Yeah, it's even about the atmosphere of a space, of a certain landscape. And not that much about the human presence. Like, we even like this feeling that those spaces are lacking the human aspect. They are like abandoned, or they are post-human as well, you can call them. But they are kind of created out of, for sure, some human leftovers, because mm-hmm. most of our forms, they refer to like garments, to some broken tools, also to some like strange weapons that for sure have some human origins. Like, that's also how we perceive them.
Yeah, but this potentiality of something that is about to happen, this kind of awaiting of action,
suspension.
I guess this effect of suspension we are always trying to keep while working on an installation or environment. Yeah.
I was very curious about this point where you all of a sudden end up in this neo-medievalism of mm-hmm. sorts, right? Where you come back to questions of magic, of maybe higher power,
mm-hmm.
of limits of human agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of loop back retrospectively to medieval practices. Could you elaborate on that? Because that's the most recent turn in your creativity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I guess it's also not something strange that these topics are appearing nowadays, because they somehow, it's like translating certain problems of reality, and also the themes of ritual and magic, they were very popular or very present in a medieval, because they were very connected with turbulent times. And I guess it's also something that we are facing now, and why we have the comeback of religion, for example, or
fundamentalism, or the new spiritualism, or the second or the third wave of New Age. Like, we found this concept also of approaching the apocalypse or approaching the catastrophe. Now maybe it's even more present because of the COVID situation, but this all creates this kind of a strange atmosphere that somehow in our most recent project we refer to a new dark age, a kind mm-hmm. of a new dark age feeling. So maybe this aesthetic is also coming back.
But that was really, really my intuition as well. You seem to intuitively just tap into epochal mm-hmm. Sensitive spots very impressively. The point of creating a virtual space in an actual space, mm-hmm. because this is how you would do digital storytelling, right? With hyperlinks, you could jump mm-hmm. from one storyline to another story point. You could basically pick and match mm-hmm. your own story. But this is what you're doing, what you're recreating in real space. So that's the real magic, huh?
It's also super important for us to always relate to the space, or like the given mm-hmm. or the chosen space.
So sometimes we work also on site. It's not very rare that we are coming somewhere
for checking the conditions mm-hmm. and then like to formulate an answer with our objects.
Yeah, and I guess also, but I would also say that, for example, the body experience of the viewer, but also by on our own, it's very important when we are thinking about creating this situation. So it's very important to connect it to this digital kind of environment, but I guess we are very rooted in this
corporeal experience as well, mm-hmm. because also it's creating this I don't know, maybe this multi-layered situation, that on the one hand you have those pretty rendered like objects and forms, but then when they are combined in one bigger environment, they could have also like an impact that is mm-hmm. very physical, and it's very body oriented kind
of. In the previous works we also used a sound track, sound piece that was accompanying the work, and sometimes we were using also the smoke, so you are very surrounded by this different layers.
Scenography.
Yes, by this scenography.
Yeah, this kind of cinematic also feeling, but it was not like a flat cinematic, but it was more like a 3D situation with the objects looking like taken out from a screen, for example.
Within the post-humanist context as well, how important is environmentalism or nature? What role does it play? It does inspire some sort of a horror element or, mm-hmm. or alienation element, but you do seem to be interested in some kind of afterlife of materials well, right? Mm-hmm. That's your recent topic.
Yeah, I would say it's like the recycling process lies somehow in the core of our also theoretical interests, because we are very often referring in our projects to the transformation of matter, or mm-hmm. as you said, to the afterlife of objects. So by recycling also the materials that we use, we are kind of working in this field of interest. So it's also like coherent with our like theoretical assumptions.
Like currently we are working, for example, we started to work with recycled leather jackets, and because we had this idea, and I think, this observation that it's afterlife in itself somehow.
Yeah, the letter as a material, it's an afterlife in itself.
Yeah.
So it's also like working with a matter that is like, I don't know,
on the edge of
what we can accept, yeah, or what we can't. But then also, although all of those methods are kind of linked with the being aware also of the environmental crisis, etc., maybe we try not to direct our projects to those like a certain problematics, but they are of course forming a kind of a pile of inspirations, but also like a starting point.
Yeah, but I would say that we are very inspired, for example, by the eco-fiction literature, and I think it's one of the point that you could that is forming ecological awareness nowadays.
Fascinating. So could you tell me more about your activities in Rupert? How is the space affecting you? You're in the middle of a snowy nowhere in the forest. How does that have impact on you?
Yeah, I found it pretty inspiring in the, like, also in a current condition somehow, because, you know, like, we came here and it's a complete lockdown almost, so all the shops with the materials are closed, and somehow it was, we were forced to work mainly on a concept, and we also forced ourselves to develop a research much broader than we were thinking at the beginning, and I think it only worked for good for us, yeah, because sometimes, you know, it's happening that you only follow a deadline, a kind of a project that has to be finalized in a certain amount of time. And right now, being here, it's a perfect occasion to focus on this initial part of
the idea, all the elements, or to rethink all the details of the upcoming projects, and by these also to enjoy this strange retreat.
I would like to ask you about the author's mark that you, mm-hmm, you've prepared for us, the sound and the picture.
Yeah, we decided to use sound from our project from video work that we did. Basically, it will be another time loop because we prepared it during the first lockdown in March, and it appeared on the occasion of a work that was called One Drop at a Time. And the work basically was referring to a strange torture when, like, the water was dropping on a forehead
of a victim. And like, the whole project was commissioned by Kunsthalle Baden-Baden, but then it was realized in this salutary place that is called the Kneipp treatment.
It's Friedrichsbad.
It's in Friedrichsbad, in the big bathhouse, public bathhouse. And then we tried to also kind of see a water as a kind of like a matter that can be used in a salutary situations, but also could be used as something that pose danger or is used in a torture mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and for the video, we create a 3D model of a drop that is falling very rhythmically on the ground. And also the sound kind of refers to this. It's very rhythmical.
Yeah, it's very rhythmical. And it consists mostly from the samples, but also from some captured background noise. Mm-hmm. And then the background noise was post-produced to that level that it makes this rhythmical kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for talking to me. It was fascinating. I really look forward to seeing what you will end up with creating after your residency. So thank you for talking to me.
Thank you as well.
It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure.